Good afternoon. Happy 4th of July, everybody. It's 186th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Sheriff and known 4th of July reveler, Mike Downey.
Yeah, that's right. Reveling is my middle name.
Yeah. MRD, huh?
Yeah.
Or Mr. D.
Yeah.
As you prefer.
Yeah.
Okay. This afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about a couple different things going on in the area. Obviously, we've got 4th of July, and you know, don't be stupid, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Animals. And also some very strange things are seeming to, whether or not they come in clusters or not, I don't know. But there's been some weird criminal activity going on in the last little bit. And we'll talk about that as well when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey, but before we do, our quote, this does not come from the sheriff. This comes from Thomas Jefferson.
Thank God.
We're going high on this
God.
One.
There you go.
God grant that men of principle shall be our principal men.
It's good. I like it.
Thought you might. So what does 4th of July mean for Humboldt County Sheriff's Department?
Well, we have a number of functions that we take care of on the 4th of July. We used to have a big firework activities in Shelter Cove. We used to gear up for that, not so much anymore. But we also have patrolling the waterways in Eureka and the bay, that type of thing during the 4th, and making sure that all the other boaters are being safe. And then just the general things. You know, one of the probably the biggest things that happens that people seem to forget or are not discount, but just, I guess, forget's the best word, is their pets, their animals, their dogs especially. If they leave them out, and they happen to leave to go watch fireworks display. A lot of times these fireworks going off will scare the animals to the point that they'll actually get out of their enclosures, and then they're running loose, and then we have to have animal control officers pick up their dogs and you know, try to return them. Sometimes they wander onto the highways, that type of thing. So, you know, the best word for the folks out there is that tonight, that you go ahead and make sure that your animals are secured prior to going out and watching fireworks display, or if you're at home, make sure you have them inside or in the garage or somewhere where they're safe, because those fireworks have have that effect on them.
I can't recall the last time we talked about animal control other than talking about the facility, the Hilton. I don't know what you guys refer to it as, but animal control being the adoption.
Right.
Part of the program rather than the control part of the program. We keep seeing some reports, Mike, about cougars here, cougars there, wolves,
right,
that kind of stuff. Are we seeing more of those predatory type of animals in Humboldt County?
Not wolves. No wolves.
Okay. Well, Southern Oregon. I mean, there have been a couple of those sightings.
There is that one wolf that they're watching. It goes between the Oregon and the California border around Lass and Mono County.
You forget the power of this station and where we go,
right,
buddy.
Right.
Yeah, it's.
In fact, last year I was talking to a fishing game officer up there, and they said they actually tracked that wolf down into Tehama County. So it has a pretty.
Really?
Yeah, pretty big range.
They'll go that far?
Yeah. But as far as sightings of here of cougars and that type of thing, mountain lions, whatever you want to call them, it seems to kind of ebb and flow, sort of. You know, we were having a number of sightings there for a while, then they kind of subsided. You know, bear, obviously, is another problem as they become bolder and garbage becomes sweeter, so to speak. So there's, there are those interfaces that happen. And we need to be, you know, aware of that we live in a somewhat wild area at times still.
So when you have a report about those types of activities or interactions, I know that there used to be a guy in association with the UC Cooperative Extension that would go out, and he would thin the herd out. That was why he was here. cutbacks, changes, things like that have altered that position significantly. Do you guys on the Sheriff's Department have a sharpshooter or somebody that you will send out to either capture or to take out one of these animals if there are regular sightings and there is safety or at risk?
We would first, you know, defer to California Fish and Wildlife and let them deal with any predatory animals. And if there's a depredation issue, then they can take care of that. That doesn't preclude them asking us to assist in some way. Obviously, if there's something active going on and we happen to be there and there's life in jeopardy type of thing, then obviously my deputies would take some kind of action as warranted. But, if we have a predatory animal that is a reoccurring problem, you know, we would defer to Fish and Wildlife first and let them make the call as to how they wanted to react.
Because they're better shots?
No, because it comes under their venue. How's that?
There you go. They get to play with darts and you guys don't get to.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. I don't have any darts.
That is interesting about the wolf, though, that it would come down that far.
Yeah.
So a wolf sighting really is a big deal. If there was one on the coast, everybody's going to be paying attention to that.
Yeah, and this one's a loner. They refer to him as a loner because he's not running with a pack. He's fairly young, but you can actually get on the website and see, based upon the monitor they have on the animal, where it's tracking, where it's been, where it's going, that type of thing, and they keep pretty close tabs on that on him.
That's a significant step up from foxes and some things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, introducing, I shouldn't say introducing, there was no introduction of the wolf. The wolf is just starting to reclaim some of the habitat that they had before. So, and again, there's ranchers that are, upset about
concerned,
that.
Concerned, yeah.
Yeah, and I understand that. But from my understanding, I don't think there's been any confirmed kills of livestock to this point.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding, and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, the 4th of July for you as gendarme,
mm-hmm.
Any special deal? You know, Fortuna had their event last night. Eureka Arcata have got theirs going on now and then this evening. Those are all within municipalities.
Correct.
So, you know, unless you guys want to hang out at one of the food booths, there's probably not a lot of interchange there.
Well, yeah, you know, you would think that. But our issues, you know, there are a lot of issues within the county as far as, you know, fireworks, especially of the illegal variety being shot off. Centerville Beach, there's usually a large group of people that go there. There's also Shelter Cove. It's subsided from what it used to be. I remember when I was the resident out there in the early 90s, the resident deputy, I had four or five extra deputies come down just for 4th of July because it was such a large crowd of people. And there were some fires that were started from those fireworks being shot off. So those are genuine concerns. But there's isolated areas of the county that are deemed to be less habited, where people will go and they'll set off fireworks of the illegal variety. You know, we want to keep things out of the air, things that fly, especially this year. This year is extremely dry. We're very concerned, along with Cal Fire, of the possibilities of fires, wildland fires that we just saw the results of that a few days ago with Arizona, where we don't want to repeat any type of situation like that. So those are some major concerns when it comes to illegal fireworks on the 4th of July.
Yeah, the situation in Arizona is rather sobering for, I think, a lot of us.
Yes.
You understand that there's going to be a lot of guys running up and down hills. It's going to be a challenge. You don't ever factor in death.
No.
That just isn't part of the equation that we have.
And in such numbers. You don't.
Yeah, 19 out of 20? Yeah. I mean, just.
Yeah. You can't fathom that.
No, it'll be interesting talking with Ken Woods next week.
Right.
To get his read on what that has been. Because I think that was the largest.
Yes.
Loss in 100 years plus?
Right.
Or maybe American history?
I think in historical, that's the largest single loss.
Yeah.
That's a fire.
You mentioned Shelter Cove in Centerville. Is it safety? Is it fire safety? Is it concern about drinking and driving? What is it about? Because I'm thinking Centerville particularly. Really kind of far enough away that
it's all those, you know, to be quite frank. You know, I remember it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago. I was out at Centerville on the 4th. Mistake. Anyway.
On duty or off duty?
Off duty.
Okay.
I can remember sitting there and I some people had these cannons or these rockets they were shooting off, and they were close to the crowd. We packed up and left because of the proximity of how these things are being shot off. So if you had alcohol, you know, a hot day, if there is such a thing at Centerville, and mix all those things together with volatile fireworks, and then that's a problem. And then again, you look at Shelter Cove or you look at Centerville, one way in, one way out. And the roads, it's not that forgiving, let's say. And if you're adding alcohol to that too, those are major concerns.
Yeah, particularly Shelter Cove with the precipice.
Right.
It just can be dicey.
Right.
Do those communities understand and respect the fact that law enforcement is coming in and trying to keep things dampened down or taken care of, or do you tend to get a little blowback in that situation?
I think the residents that are full-time residents there, they appreciate the, you know, some type of policing. I think, you know, when you live out in areas like that, there's a certain level that you anticipate and that you accept of those types of things. But what's happened in the past is as people go way above that level of where everyone feels comfortable, and that's where we have our problems, and that's when we get our calls. And that's when incidences happen, that end tragically.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, is it true or does it just seem to be an impression that things happen in clusters? Yeah, the drug bust. We had the one, I think you guys got them on the weekend. It seemed like 15,000 pounds of meth. But the thing that struck me was $170,000 in cash. Okay. Different playing field than what we're accustomed to.
Right.
Earlier in the week, the guy trying to avoid EPD, zipping through town on 7th Street, going 60 or 70 miles an hour, and then having the smarts to come back and claim that his truck was stolen. Wrong move.
Right.
Yeah. Weird seems to be kind of the condition we're in. Is that playing out, or are these just happen to be a couple isolated instances?
Well, yeah, that's hard to say. I think we have a number of issues coming into play here. You know, prison realignment. We have issues of economic struggling within our society. We have people that are, you know, obviously out of work and have time on their hands and are now, some of them are now getting involved in illegal endeavors to sustain themselves. So, you know, all those things factor in. You know, you mentioned clusters. You know, we have in law enforcement, we have a saying that everything comes in threes. You know, I sometimes that holds pretty true, especially in homicides, which we don't want to see come in threes. But, you know, those and any of those really critical incidences that happen. So is it any more or less than the past? Is it escalating? I think in some categories we probably are seeing escalation, especially in our more violent type issues and crimes.
Yeah, it may not be more stuff going on, but boy, it seems like all the nasties are going on.
Right. I was doing some statistical collection or data on the impact of prison realignment on Humboldt County. And we didn't see a huge jump in crime. But one thing that was interesting, I was talking to some of our dispatchers who obviously get the calls and dispatch the deputies to the calls. They seemed to believe that the types of calls coming in were more violent in nature. The people involved, there was more violence involved. And it was a pretty interesting perception on their part, to where they could go back and say, no, I think things are becoming more violent. I think we're seeing more violence associated with the calls we're dispatching deputies to.
So as you see that playing out with the backdrop of realignment, mm-hmm. and the frustration of the cops of having somebody processing them, seeing them later that afternoon wandering around, is it a powder keg? Are we getting into a scenario where things might get out of hand with an isolated incident? And
I don't know so much if that's the case. I don't know if this is what's the word I'm looking for? If there's enough association between all the players to make this thing, to make something explode like that, to where there's I think you're getting around to the word anarchy somewhere in there. But I don't think there's enough sophistication.
Or a penchant for more emotional
right.
interaction.
Right. Yeah, I don't see that as much. I think we're talking about incidences that are isolated from each other that necessarily wouldn't precipitate some type of overflowing of violence that would be preying on the community. I don't see that.
But if you saw somebody in the Downing backyard that you didn't recognize, and they didn't have two beers in their hand at the moment that were cold. In the past, it might have been somebody cutting a corner or something.
Right.
Now they're probably there for a purpose, or right. at least that's going to be what we immediately go to. So if somebody acts a little funny, says something a little different that may not have caused a reaction from homeowner, I would think that we're going to pay more attention. I mean, I had it this weekend myself, just – two high school kids went by on skateboards, but it was at 7:15 in the morning. And I thought, oh, okay, is this part of the crowd that we've heard about? And about 5 minutes later, a guy, black top, black pants, black shoes, black bike, went pedaling up the road. And that's my immediate reaction is, are they scoping? And then dismiss it and say, no, normal people.
Well, You just use a great analogy of how we're becoming more attentive to our surroundings. We need to be that way. We need to be aware of what's going on around us and take steps to make sure that we're not victims of something we don't want to be victims of. And it doesn't mean we have to become vocal or become aggressive. It just means that we need to be aware and be able to telegraph that some way to that person that you're watching them, that that they seem a little out of the neighborhood, a little bit out of the area, and you can always make that call if you feel that you need to for someone to come by and check it out.
I guess I must still like to be Humboldt County naive. Instead of saying, hi, good morning.
Yeah.
It's now followed by, how can I help you out?
Yeah.
And the smile kind of disappears.
Right. Even the hi, good morning is good, because now they know you're engaging them, and they're going, okay, now this person is not just, not paying attention. They're actually engaging me. So when you say hi to somebody, you're actually looking at them, usually, and now you get a perception in your mind of what they look like.
So that's abnormal for most. I mean, I do that all the time. So
I do too. Yeah. I think you're showing the difference between being unattentive or inattentive of your surroundings by maybe seeing someone there but not really paying attention to them, and being attentive by saying, wait a minute, hey, good morning, how are you doing, or can I help you? Just like you said, that puts dialogue between you, and that forces you to look at that person, and they know you're looking at them.
KINS News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 345. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, we talked a little bit about clusters and some of that stuff, and unfortunately there have been a couple of drownings in the last few days.
Right.
They seem like they would be unconnected, unrelated. One in the ocean, one in the river. Was there any commonality? Were there any lessons learned, or was it just sometimes bad things happen?
Well, yeah, that is very interesting, how that whole thing came about. And, they are coroner's cases at this point, but we did do our initial investigation into them and turn it over to the coroner. But what it looks like, the one in Fortuna, guy said to the other guy, let's swim across the river and swim back.
He just ran out of gas?
I assume so. The river there in Fortuna behind the Riverwalk, is cold, but not cold like a mountain stream, but it still has some chill to it. Now, if that's enough to have tired him out, or if he just was an inexperienced swimmer, that's hard to say. But this still goes back to what we experienced out in the Willow Creek area when we talk about the Trinity and the Klamath and those rivers and how cold they are. We need to be aware of that. Now, as far as Shelter Cove goes, that was a very interesting issue too. Woman swims out and she's never seen again. And that, we all know how cold that ocean is. Doesn't take long for someone. Or the tides, yeah. And so just why she was swimming out there, I don't know. But, I mean, again, it gets back to, being aware of what you're getting yourself into, especially up here on the North Coast. This isn't Southern California. This isn't some tropical beach. I mean, we have to be aware of the fact that these waters are cold, tides can be swift, and we can be in jeopardy just a few yards from the beach without even realizing it until it's too late.
I just had I don't know if I've ever asked this question before of anybody. With the beaches in Southern California, the long sloping versus ours with the rip tides, are tourists from Southern California who come up here with their families and spend time on the beach, are they more susceptible because they may be thinking that our beaches are just like the Southern California beaches and they're long and slow instead of the short, quick drop-offs and then the riptides pulling you down and things like that?
Could be. And, what you find these days is many of the travel information logs, do put out some disclaimers. You'll find a number of beaches will have signage up to warn people, to warn swimmers, locals, telling them to be careful. But the other common thing you'll see, especially along our beaches, is the lack of Coast Guard tower, or not Coast Guard, but lifeguard towers, and the lack of other people swimming in the ocean. So most people won't put themselves in jeopardy by going into the ocean if there's no one else there. Most people. And again, a lot of times our weather here is not conducive to just taking a dip in the ocean either. So those are factors that come into it.
I guess I'm trying to think. Clam Beach would probably be about the only one that would have that long,
right,
and people around,
right, and you will see. That's probably one of the more busiest beaches I see around is Clam Beach. You'll see people out walking, and you know, utilizing the beach much more there than anywhere else along our coast, except if you get up, you know, towards Oric and Stone Lagoon and Big Lagoon, those types of areas. So again, you know, it's just being aware of the fact that these are cold waters, and they're unforgiving.
Yeah, and there are not enough cops around.
No.
To bail anybody out.
No, there definitely isn't.
So what's 4th of July mean for you?
Just family, having a good time, and enjoying myself and remembering why we're here, and those that helped us, you know, put this country together. So it's a good time.
Wonderful opportunity there to drop Thomas Jefferson and just make this whole show fully cyclical, but you dropped the ball.
I don't want to eclipse your wonderful speech in the beginning.
Yeah, uh-huh, sure. Well, hopefully the rest of the weekend will be very calm for everybody, whether it's a two-dayer with a break or a four-day weekend, and we'll reconvene on Monday.
All right.
Thanks for coming by, Mike.
All right, thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. Be safe with those fireworks. And I'll see you tomorrow.